This podcast was recorded in November 2016, just after reports from the Audit Office and CQC about the quality of services in social care.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think and act with integrity so people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry, and this is our podcast where we just have a chat about things. And the thing that's kind of on our minds at the moment is this do more with less mantra, or I suppose we should probably start saying do less with less.
Yes.
Because that's kind of where we've got to.
We have, yeah. We've decided that you can't do 40% more with 40% less. What you can do is something different.
Yeah, and we've just had to remind us about this recently. So one in Children's Services, which was the Audit Office report, which said that too many Children's Services are not performing well.
Yeah.
And that's despite quite a lot of attention and scrutiny, and that there was a link between authorities that had social workers with very high caseloads and very high vacancy rates, you know, either of those, and poor performance. So that's quite an interesting bit of evidence about, yeah, you have lower quality.
I'm making a face at Jerry here, like, oh, I'm so surprised that this is the case. Yeah. Because it's really interesting, isn't it? Something you just said, Jerry, was that despite scrutiny and audit, they still weren't performing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because scrutiny and audit is not the same as staff and resources.
It's not. Yeah, and in adult services, we've just had the Care Quality Commission report on the state of social care. Sorry, what's it called? The state of care. So it looks at health and social care. And that has, again, found that there's issues with quality, and the issues with quality are growing as the impact of cuts is affecting us. So social care providers going out of the market, people not getting services, people not getting timely services or preventative services and coming into hospitals, the knock-on effect of that on A&E and hospital discharge and things like that. And again, saying that there's a tipping point, which is that we can't keep providing good social care, good health care, without resource.
Yes. And I think for me, as I'm sitting here listening to it, it feels nice to say this kind of stuff, but I think we say it a lot. I mean, I haven't really been working with many people who haven't been talking about the impact that austerity and a kind of mindset that is really about managing our budgets before anything else hasn't had on practice. But for me, it's not enough to say it. What we have to do is what you said, which is how do we do less safely and well enough to still make difference to people? Because I think people still want to be helpful. So how do you be helpful, concretely helpful in this climate? That's what we've got to really be talking about. What do you not do any more of?
Yeah, and I don't think what we need is more reports that say it's really difficult and we need more money.
Yeah.
I think we do need to do two things. One is we need to sustain what we can as well as we can in this situation. And the other is that we need to much more effectively lobby for the resource. So I think we'll come back to the kind of lobbying for resourcing, what it would take actually to convince people to put more money into health and social care. But the sustaining ourselves while we're doing it, we had a workshop today with managers where we were talking about prioritisation. And prioritisation not just as doing things, but also deciding what you're not going to do.
Yes.
And that's quite a scary concept, actually, I think.
But a really important one, because we just can't keep pretending that stacking the plates higher and higher and higher and higher and higher is doable. Because one of the things that really worries me is as long as we all keep agreeing that we should be taking on all of this work and doing all of this work and everything is important, like, you know, people today saying there is nothing on my work plate that isn't important. I don't know how to choose between anything. All these things are important. And you've got to think, well, you're going to have to make some of them more important than others, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because actually, we can't do everything. And if you try and do everything, I wonder if you achieve anything.
Yeah. And I think there were three things that we particularly talked about. When there was firstly, deciding what it is that you're able to do whilst remaining well. Because one of the things that I find really distressing about the situation, the difficult context that we're in, is that lots of people are becoming unwell or leaving. They're going, you know, good people are leaving social work. So I would really want everyone to have the chance and the confidence and the sort of, I don't know, the valuing of themselves to say, actually, this is how much I can give to this.
Yeah.
And being really clear about that. And then within that parameter, saying, okay, well, what have I got that I need to do? And how do I prioritise? How do I pick the things that I need, the most important, the most urgent things, and do those first? So that was the kind of the second bit. And then the last bit was being accountable for the things you can't do.
Yes.
So saying, actually, I've only got so many hours in the day. These are the things that I am able to do, and they're the most important and the most urgent. And then these things will be undone, and letting your organisation know about that.
And being really clear with your organisation about the consequences of the choices you're making, or the consequences of the choices they're making. Mm. So if somebody in a senior role says to you, this is the priority, and you need to drop everything else, it's your duty really to say to them very clearly, if I do that, you need to understand that these things are most likely to happen because of the things that are undone. So that there's a real clear sense of what's going to be left behind. Mm. And that's not back covering, I don't think. I think it's about nice, clear communication up and down the lines so that nobody's surprised by the state of play. And the other thing is, when you're picking things that are meaningful, and you have to ask yourself, who is this meaningful to?
Mm.
To keep providing a good social care service, you want it to be meaningful to the people we serve. That's what we're looking for. The tasks that are most important and most helpful and most meaningful to the people whom we're meant to be serving.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if we think, take the example of caseloads, if you allocate all the caseloads in your team, I've been in this situation as a team manager, and you have as well, where you just want to get things allocated. If you allocate above what's sustainable for someone's well-being, they may well become unwell.
Yep.
And then that's a tragedy for them, and it's a real problem for the service and for the people who need the service. If you were acting really ethically, you would want to not overwhelm that person. And so you would then be left with some work that couldn't be done.
Yeah.
So then you would need to prioritise, you know, do I actually need my team to do this rather than this?
Mm.
If there's stuff left, you have to be able to share that accountability with the organisation. And I think one of the things that worries me is that I think people are covering a lot of unmet need.
I think that's exactly right. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? We stand up and we go, oh, we all know we don't have enough time. And it's like we've dealt with the issue because we've said it out loud.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we haven't dealt with the issue at all. If we don't have enough time, then there needs to be a lessening of expectations, a modifying of service delivery, or a focusing of what we can do, or an outsourcing, or more funding brought in. But it's not enough just to say, oh, we have too high caseloads, oh, we don't have enough time. It's like, okay, how are we going to behave purposefully in that context? And there has to be modifying, doesn't there? There has to be a modification of what we expect from people.
Yeah, and nationally, there are two really important conversations going on, one around innovation or improvement. I prefer improvement to innovation. How do we get the most out of what we've got?
Yep.
How do we learn and pick the best things, use the best evidence, act in the best way, the most helpful way. So that's one really important conversation. That will take you only so far, though. So the other conversation that's happening, particularly in adult services, is when we've done what we can to change things within the kind of parameters, within the expectations, and we still find that we can't fulfill everything that we're expected to do, how do we start to prioritise the things that we must do, or the things that are most important, and have start having a conversation about actually what we're not going to be able to do anymore. And that should be the same for individuals, shouldn't it, within their organisation? I would really like to think that people could be thinking about that themselves, not just be thinking, I've got to somehow do it, but be thinking, actually, what's the limit to how I can use myself as a person, as my resource, and is there someone I can trust? Hopefully there is within the organisation that I can say, actually, this is as much as I can do. What's the best way to use this time?
And the reason that's so important to me is, like when you talk about that, is the fact that if you hide it, if you don't talk to anybody about this stuff, it doesn't go away. It doesn't see, if you say, I'm going to work harder, or yes, I can do that, when you know you can't, it doesn't make you able to do it. Because the truth is, actually, if you're working efficiently and effectively in a good supportive environment, you will get a reasonable amount of work done. But you won't get an unreasonable amount of work done. Your own behaviours aren't going to enable you to do an unreasonable amount of things.
Yeah, because we're not superhuman, so we can't expect more of ourselves than what's possible. And if we're not clear about that, then that's, I think, not being accountable. But it's obviously much easier to say this than to do it. I know that any conversations I've ever had about work where I've had to say, I either can't take that on right now, or I could, but these are the kind of implications and this is what might need to go, I felt horribly uncomfortable doing it.
It's about that need to please, isn't it? There's two things, isn't there? You want to please somebody and you want to feel competent. And competency equals achieving what's given to you. Or does it, really? You know, or is it better to be thoughtful about how your actions can make difference and then work very hard in a focused way?
Yeah, and social care has always been an area of work where there's been less resources than you would want to have to do everything that you'd like to do.
Sure.
So I think we could prize the skill of getting the most out of a resource and prioritising well more than we do, actually.
So what you're saying, that you think we, as kind of that, because there's been a historical lack of that, it just means that we have kind of an acceptance of the fact that there's always going to be.
No, I mean, I suppose what I mean is that there's a lot of ingenuity, and there always has been, always must have been in social work.
Absolutely.
We maybe don't prize it enough, recognise it enough. We just think, oh, well, people are just coping, and that's great. We don't look at all the wondrous things that they're doing to make sure that they get the most out of the resource that they've got.
Yes, so actually, I mean, because that's interesting, Jerry, because in a way what you're saying there is actually we are pretty good at prioritising and delivering in quite difficult circumstances, actually.
Yeah.
And so we ought to trust someone's judgment when they say, actually, I can't do more, or there's this potential problem coming. Yeah.
Instead of seeing that the whole workforce is failing to do as we're meant to do, and what we need is correction, perhaps, or direction, perhaps what we need is a hearing and a clearer or narrower focus, or the last thing we wanted to talk about, more resources.
Yeah, so I mean, the best people, I think, to be talking about how to get the most out of less are social workers and others working in that area, absolutely alongside service users and carers, who have their own really good ideas about what's the best way to use what we have. But that none of that is going to end up solving the problem of there just not being enough. And by enough, I mean there's less. The cuts are going to the point where people who would have got services, people who have got quite significant needs, are not now getting support. So I'm really interested in why, as a society, we're not more worried about this. You know, are we getting used to people being using food banks? Are we getting used to disabled people not being able to work? Are we getting used to people being stuck in hospitals, older people not getting support in the community? And I don't think we are. I think there's still a real lack of awareness, actually, of what that really means. It's always been a bit of a problem with social work, that it's not everybody's lived experience. So actually trying to convey why it matters, when the majority of people hopefully won't ever need a social worker, I think the exception might be older people. You struggle to actually really make the case for it. Certainly for one of the things that will help adult social care is that many people are aware of hospitals and how they work, and hospitals are being affected by
and
social
it's so,
care.
So interesting.
So people start to make the link.
Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking, I wanted to ask you, are you used to the fact that when you go to see a GP about something that is worrying you, they give you 7 minutes?
Yeah, I suppose I'm used to that.
Because I tell you, I'm not used to that yet. I am not okay about it. I'm not okay about my GP barely lifting their eyes from the screen and diagnosing me quickly and then moving me out the door. Not because I'm really needy of my GP, but because actually it's very hard to be effective in 7 minutes, and the GPs are saying that. They're saying
And they've actually
that
managed to lobby quite well for extra resource.
And they feel that their work is being really compromised.
I mean, they're still facing difficulties, but there is much more public awareness. And I think with older people, because there's a growing population of older people, and there's a lot of us who've got relatives.
And hopefully we'll become old.
Yeah, who are people. So as there's a knock-on effect, you know, people maybe don't understand the experience of only having 15 minutes to get up, get washed, get dressed, have a breakfast, and then the person's out of the door, because that's not our lived experience.
And then only 15 minutes that you get with another human.
Yeah. But we can easily imagine being stuck in A&E, not being able to get into hospital when we needed something, or being stuck in hospital, not being able to get home because we've been in hospitals. So I think what we need actually is awareness through seeing people's real stories.
Our real question at the beginning, wasn't it, was how do we do helpful things with less? And I think, you know, I mean, we talked about doing less with less, but for me it's like how is every action and all the time we spend helpful? Because that's what we need to do. We need to make everything count, don't we?
Yeah, and I think on the micro level, what's helpful is to look after ourselves and look after each other.
Yeah.
Work sustainably and be ethical and clear about what we can and can't do. Prioritise as well as we can and say what we can't do and be accountable for it.
And so reject the shame that can come.
And help each other with that. And that's on the kind of micro level. On the bigger picture, I think lobbying and asking for more resources is more successful if the experience, the lives of people who need this support is really, really visible. So I think the thing that social workers need to do is get together, but get together with people who need support, not, you know, with service users, with carers, with children, with families, not to be arguing, not ever to be seen to be arguing for resource for ourselves.
Yeah, but to be arguing for vulnerable and disadvantaged groups.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of different areas where social workers are lobbying and particularly working with service users, people with lived experience to argue for what's needed.
So it's really, some of this is about using some of that precious energy that you have to actually stand up and be counted. And we were talking earlier, weren't we, about the fact that sometimes to change things you need to expand more energy in the short term.
Yeah, so using a little bit of our precious time to get people's voices heard.
Yeah.
Because we're really lucky as social workers that we do get to meet all these interesting people and understand their lives a bit better and have the chance to speak with them. And we all have family and friends, acquaintances, people we meet in the pub, people I meet in my local stores that I can chat to about what I do and why it matters and why actually if we don't support older people, you, your mum, you know, my mum, people like that that we know, that we can imagine would be in difficulties and here's somebody that I've met who's in that situation.
So I guess, you know, to kind of wind this up, I don't know that we have as many answers as we would really like, but one of the things that I would say is that each person only has the same allotted span of time each day.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it you will use for sleep and some of it you will use outside of your workspace. And what is allotted to you inside of your workspace, it is reasonable to be able to talk about what you can achieve.
Yeah.
And it's not burning out, not coping, rejecting your responsibility,
being weak,
not being as organized or not having as many skills. It is about being authentic and real and proportional about the ways you are able to make difference.
Yeah.
And really holding on to that.